You are locked into the Philadelphia Eagles. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's a Tuesday edition of the podcast, July 30th. The Eagles hitting the practice field once again this morning at NovaCare Complex. We're going to get into Tuesday's recap of practice, but we also got some fun other stuff going on today's show. We always talk about on the podcast how the Eagles are one of the most loaded teams in the NFL, maybe the top team in the NFL when it comes to the depth and the variety of weapons they have in the offense. I've made the take over and over again that this is the most talented Eagles offense that I've ever seen as a fan growing up with the Philadelphia Eagles. But now it's time to look around the league. With preseason coming up, with your fantasy football drafts coming up, which is all offense all the time, I've been a big proponent of a defense-free fantasy league. My league has still not gotten to that point, but that's what we're getting into on today's podcast. It's the offensive side of the football. What teams are going to be able to compete with the Eagles while they might not even play them on the schedule this year, but when it comes to the playoffs, when it comes to a potential Super Bowl matchup, if the Eagles are able to reach that far, what are the teams that, if this Eagles offense does click on all cylinders like we are hoping, because on paper it is hard to top this team, are there offenses around the league that can match this Eagles, not only the, just the top tier, because there's a lot of teams with a couple elite players on offense, but are there offenses around the league that have the depth that Philadelphia has, the variety, the different styles of weapons, much like Carson Wentz has to throw to this year? We'll get into that as well. I'm going to rank the top offenses in the NFL outside of the Philadelphia Eagles. I'll put the Eagles in my rankings as well, but bringing in the entire NFL on today's edition of the podcast. 4 to 5 days a week we're recording right here on the show, as always, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. And look, if you missed any of the other podcasts, make sure you're subscribed to the show, because like I said, Monday through Thursday, Friday, sometimes we even post weekend shows depending on what's going on with our schedules each week. We are consistently churning out Eagles podcast after Eagles podcast. And if you're someone that is a big podcast listener, I kind of balance it. I like to listen to podcasts. I like to listen to music, but there's so many different times that I listen to shows, you know, when I'm working out, when I'm playing video games, when I'm writing articles, just doing work in general, when I'm driving to work, right, where I'm driving the brother somewhere or the girlfriend. I got podcasts going on all the time. So make sure you subscribe to the show, because we got a bunch for you each week, no matter what you're doing. Maybe you're at work and you're at your desk as well. You can also listen to it on LockedOnEagles.com on your desktop. So there's a bunch of different ways to listen to the show. Just make sure you're subscribed so they automatically get into your phone. And then, of course, if you're on your computer, we do have that on the mothership, LockedOnEagles.com. And look, we always want you in on the conversation. So our final shameless plug for the day, as always, follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiaseLOE, and at Gino_LOE. All right, so here in this first segment, let's get into what happened in Tuesday's practice. Tuesday was a fun practice to follow because it was the first live hitting session of training camp for the Eagles, now in week two. I can't believe it, guys, though, by the way. We are only 9 days away from the Eagles and Titans taking on each other in week one of the preseason next Thursday. I think it's at 8 o'clock Eastern time, and I am just so excited, not only just to start football up again, but I know it's preseason, but playing that Titans team again is just bringing me back to week four of last year. So we're going to take a trip down memory lane. Don't you worry, next week. I'm sure you're dreading that, because if the Eagles miss the playoffs, that was the game that we would be harping on the entire offseason. But we're right out of the offseason. We're getting there. We have preseason football next week, so we'll have you covered. We're going to have a crossover edition of the show next week. We'll have some guests on, matchups to watch. We have a real game to talk about, Eagles fans. And, you know, today was kind of that first step, getting the pads on this week. And today they actually were able to hit live hitting drills today at practice. And let me just brag for a few minutes here. My brand is on fire right now when it comes to the Eagles. You guys know my brand, I would say, for the Eagles is the young corners, really the dedication to Rasul Douglas specifically, and of course Sidney Jones and Avante Maddox, and I do like me some Cravion LeBlanc. Cravon LeBlanc, by the way. It's kind of the Corey Clement thing I did last year. I'm slowly getting better with the Cravon LeBlanc thing. So if you do know that it has been Cravon, you've been hearing me say Cravion, thank you for putting up with that, because there is no E after Cray. So it's just Cravon LeBlanc. And then I would say my other brands are, of course, Carson Wentz. Been a believer in him since 2016, coming out of North Dakota. Miles Sanders and the running back crew, big lead back guy. much more anti-running back by committee. Not a radical anti-running back by committee guy, but much more of a featured back style of person, if you ask me. And then some of the receivers here, DeSean Jackson, Nelson Aguilar, guys that I go to the table, I pound the table for. And they all made me really proud this week. I feel really good about a lot of my Eagles opinions because, let me just say, Rasul Douglas, Sidney Jones, and Avante Maddox all looked great once again today. Sidney Jones had an impressive interception in red zone drills. Rasul Douglas on a fade route. Alshon Jeffrey gets over him, catches the ball. Douglas finds a way to pop it out, just show that physicality that he has. Again, he has that niche role of not only being your best ball hawk and your best tackler, which he blew up a bunch of run plays today as well, which is another reason why you would want Douglas on the field as opposed to a guy like Ronald Darby, who to me is useless against the run, and Douglas is your best run-stopping corner. But also, a Rasul Douglas is one of your few guys that can really match, you know, physical trait after physical trait with a player like Alshon Jeffrey. If you got to line up with one of those guys on another team, you know, a big-bodied receiver that has a high catch rate and can play physical with you, sometimes you got to have a Rasul Douglas. And that's why, you know, you guys know with me, I'm way more Douglas than I'm Darby. We saw what Gronk did to Darby in the Super Bowl, and they all have looked tremendous, though. The past 2 weeks, even in minicamp, they have all looked really good. And I'm not the only one talking them up. I've seen a bunch of other Eagles podcasts and, you know, Eagles media members out there alike that are saying, wow, this could be the trio of the future. And people are even starting to consider, do Darby and Mills get a chance at a job when they come back? For me, though, I listened to Jim Schwartz's interview today. I heard him talking about Rasul and how he has grown. Of course, he did speak positively about Douglas and about Jones and about Maddox. But then he kind of twisted it around a little bit. He mentioned how Rasul even, you know, he had a role when he was a backup. He specifically mentioned the Atlanta game week one last year where he picked off Matt Ryan covering Julio Jones in the second half late in that game to get the Eagles the ball back. It felt like to me, I don't know about you if you watched the interview, but the press conference, I felt like for me, he was setting up being able to justify sitting Rasul Douglas by still saying, yeah, I mean, he still had a role when he wasn't playing last year. And for me, I kind of read into that as, oh man, when Ronald Darby comes back, and look, it's obvious, though, the way they paid him and the way they've invested in Darby, they do believe in Ronald Darby. I would like to reserve the right here on the podcast to pout like a 10-year-old when Darby does replace Rasul, because I think Douglas is, right now, outside of Avante Maddox, their best corner. I think Sidney Jones is going to eventually become that corner, but right now, based on what he has done on the field in the actual seasons and what he has done this summer, Rasul and Navante are your top corners right now, and it's going to be really frustrating to see him go back to the bench, which he probably will, because the way Sidney Jones is looking right now, he's going to be one of those outside corners. Mills is not getting that spot back to me if Jones stays healthy. And then the other one, look, I'll believe it when I see it. Maybe they do move Maddox to safety and they have Jones push inside and they find a way to get everybody on the field, Rasul and Darby, like we talked about on CB Wars. But when Darby comes back, I think Douglas is the one, especially listening to that press conference today. For me, it's Rasul that's going to get the short end of the stick, and that really shouldn't surprise you considering everything that happened the past couple years with putting Darby back in after injury and the whole Dexter McDougal stuff last year I don't even want to get into, but they have looked incredible, and I would just like to brag and continue to say that that is the three guys that I have gone to war for, so is Geno, and we're looking pretty good with that situation. So we'll see what happens next year with that, but for now, I do think at least one of them is going to be, you know, eventually benched with Darby coming back. Another couple of things for my brand today at practice. Miles Sanders was really doing well, not only in the run game. A strength of Sanders that we don't get into a lot is his physicality. So, of course, he makes a lot of people miss with his shady-like juking ability, cut on a dime, the shiftiness, the elusiveness, the great vision. He's got explosiveness, too. He's got speed down the field. That is the main thing with Miles Sanders. That was the biggest plus. That was the biggest, the strength of Sanders that made everybody want him in the second round here for the Eagles, that justified taking him. But another thing with him, he's got great contact balance, and he is more physical than people give him credit for. And in a red zone drill today, he found a way to, you know, with guys draped all over him, force that ball into the end zone. He really has shown more and more now that he's recovering from that hamstring injury. The more reps he's getting with the first team, you're seeing everybody start to take notice that, oh man, Miles Sanders is a different cat compared to these other running backs. He is special. He has a repertoire of skills that these other running backs just simply don't have. And I'll continue to say it, the more and more Sanders gets acclimated into this offense and the more opportunities he hopefully does get within this rotation at running back, he is not only going to become the lead back, and, you know, again, I hope for a lead back, it's not just a couple more touches a game than the other ones. You guys know, for me, if the best running back is clearly the best running back, I do not want an even split, and we'll keep an eye on that. That's going to be something I keep a very close eye on because that happened a lot 2 years ago with Ajayi splitting with the other guys. But regardless, Sanders, to me, I give it a month or maybe a month and a half into the season until Sanders unseats Jordan Howard as the feature, quote-unquote, back. We'll see what, again, a feature back it constitutes as in Philadelphia. I mean, for a second-round pick, I think eventually he will be the lead back, if you know what I'm saying. But for right now, I still think he'll eventually take over in that rotation as the guy with the most touches. And to me, he is making it seem like my other enemy when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, I guess you would say, considering he has me blocked on Twitter, Darren Sproles. The signing of Darren Sproles is looking more and more pointless the more we see the kind of all-around weapon that Miles Sanders is. I mean, his hands are really, really good, and he's got a much bigger catch radius than Sproles. He's got softer hands. He can not only catch it in his chest. I feel like you always have to put the ball in Sproles' chest, accurate pinpoint. He's not going to be able to make difficult catches, whereas Sanders, again, he has that contact balance. He has that great balance with his body, able to shift around and make plays at different angles. And today, he burned Vinny Curry. Of course, it was Vinny Curry, but nonetheless, you know, 15 to 20 yards down the field, Sanders makes a hell of a catch on a wheel route from Carson Wentz, who led him perfectly, and Sanders made the play as a receiving running back, and that's something that he did not do a lot at Penn State, but you watch him at the combine, you watch the limited reps he did get in the passing game at Penn State, and you can see that he is someone that should be a feature running back in the passing game, along with Corey Clement, has also proved to be able to do it at a high level. And it's making me think more and more that, man, this Sproles move, unless he is your fourth guy and is just really punt returning and maybe getting 3 to 5 touches on offense a game, for me, it simply was pointless considering the resources that you put in Miles Sanders and the way he is making you look really good right now making that pick. A couple other things here I noticed at practice. Carson Wentz, absolutely sharp once again. He is having a very similar training camp to the one he did in 2017, where you could tell, and we'll see in the preseason too, but I remember those first, I was at the Buffalo preseason game that year, the first one against Green Bay and Lambeau, that touchdown to Mac Collins, some of those plays extending outside the pocket to Jordan Matthews. You could really tell in the preseason how much Wentz grew from year one to year two, and especially with mechanics and accuracy and, you know, the deep ball, Carson Wentz, you could tell this is going to be different. And then, of course, week one against Washington, it was confirmed that, oh man, like Carson Wentz is ready to wreck the NFL this year, and that's exactly what he did. He is looking that sharp again. He is spreading the ball around. He is making a variety of different types of throws with touch and anticipation. Deep balls down the field, I was giddy like a little kid watching the Eagles' Twitter account tweet out the mic'd up thing with Carson Wentz where he said, I just want to throw the ball to DeSean Jackson here, 70 yards down the field. Let's give the people what they want to see is what he said. And the next play, Carson Wentz, DeSean burns Sidney Jones on the right side of the field. Jackson to the house. Wentz puts it perfectly on a go route for DeSean for a touchdown. He has been, that combination has been the brightest spot of training camp so far. But today was actually Wentz, and, you know, DeSean made a few big plays like that today with Wentz. But the Wentz-Nelson Aguilar connection was actually the one that was the big takeaway at practice today. They made about at least a dozen plays down the field. And I think those guys are really going to get back on the same page today. This year, they have made a lot of big plays together throughout their 3 years playing in this offense. But last year, you did see when Wentz's back did get injured, you saw him suffer I think Aguilar suffered specifically because you didn't see as many plays where, you know, the play breaks down, Carson Wentz, he's running around, you know, the improv type plays, the Russell Wilson plays, the plays that we have really fallen in love with when it comes to Carson Wentz, the plays that made me want him over a guy like Jared Goff. His go-to guy in those kinds of plays is Nelson Aguilar, right? The Washington play week one in 2017. How about the game against Seattle, where Wentz is rolling to his right, falling down, hails it up, you know, 45, 50 yards down the field, rolling right again in that same game, throwing it all the way left for a touchdown to Aguilar. Last year, even, there were some huge plays between the two. The big plays against the Giants on Thursday Night Football, the bomb against the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, the other Cowboys game in Dallas as well. When Wentz was going down the field last year, it was still to Nelson Aguilar, but you didn't get as many big plays because of the health with Wentz. And those two are clicking today on a lot of similar plays that have made those two really have a strong chemistry when he is healthy. Because when Wentz is healthy, he likes to move around, he likes to extend plays, and Aguilar has been the go-to target when Wentz does start to play Houdini back there behind the pocket. So they looked like they were getting back to that mode today. They looked really, really good. Like I said on the podcast last week, do not sleep on Nelson Aguilar this year. I think he is really going to thrive in this offense now with DeSean Jackson as that other guy with him and Alshon, compared to last year with Golden Tate, where with Wentz's injury and the Golden Tate acquisition, Aguilar really was affected significantly in that way. But he looked sharp today. Also, so did, by the way, the rookies look great today. Andre Dillard, so strong in pass protection. It shouldn't surprise us at all, considering all the reps, you know, 600 plus reps seemingly a season with Washington State, who threw more than anybody in FBS over Dillard's career there. He was really, really good against the Eagles' defensive lines today. The other rookie too, the second round pick that we haven't really talked about a lot this year, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, he ends up on one of the final plays scoring a 75-yard touchdown off a tipped pass. He takes it down the left sideline. It was super cool. The entire offense ran with him, and he scored there, and he needed that. He is, you know, he's been solid throughout camp, but everybody else really has been talked about a whole lot more. And then you got, you know, a Carlton Agadosi kind of guy, the 6'6 wide receiver who he got the go with the Towers lineup that I talked about on the podcast last week. The Eagles tried that out, but it wasn't Arcega-Whiteside that was with Alshon, Ertz, and Goddard in the red zone. It was Agadosi, actually. But Arcega-Whiteside today, he looks sharp. He scores the final touchdown for the offense. He needed that, and look, I think once the actual games get going next Thursday, you're going to see Arcega-Whiteside make some plays and start to separate himself. He is much more, you know, he's smack dab in the middle, right? They're going to probably keep six receivers. You got the first three, and then you got the bottom three. And Arcega-Whiteside is right there in the middle. I think he's more going to show he is much more in the category of DeSean, Alshon, and Nelly than he is Matt Collins and Shelton Gibson. So, or maybe it is Agadosi or Greg Ward. Greg Ward, another guy having a really good camp so far, but good to see the other rookie in Arcega-Whiteside make a big play today in practice. The only other takeaway that I have for you is that Joe Osman was sharp once again. He has been really good in back-to-back summers. If he's healthy this year, maybe he's the fifth guy here in this rotation, you know, and also maybe the fourth. Who knows? But Josh Sweat has looked really good so far. So I imagine Sweat's going to be the lead defensive end four as of right now. And again, we still have games to play. We're still very early in the process. But Joe Osman, two more sacks, if you will, today. It'll be interesting to see if, you know, Sharif Miller doesn't progress significantly this summer. If Osman continues to produce, I mean, I feel like Miller's going to make the roster still, but is he going to be somebody that doesn't dress at all this year? That might be the route, because Osman looks like someone that is more ready to produce for the Eagles right now. So those are some of the big takeaways. It was a fun Tuesday practice, a fun one to wake up to and pay attention to. And I feel really good. I think my brand looks strong after Tuesday's practice. When we come back, let's get into some of the top skill position groups in the NFL that can really compete with the Eagles as the top go-to offense here in the NFL. It's an exciting time here. I'm glad to be talking about some other teams here with fantasy football coming up. This could help you in that area as well. But we got to know our opponents, Eagles fans out there. We got to know who we're going up against in the league in 2019. So that's coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Support of Locked On Eagles comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. You may have seen them on Shark Tank. Love that show. Love Shark Tank. They were on it. Manscaping offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code LOCKEDON at manscaped.com. That's 20% off at manscaped.com with the promo code LOCKEDON. We thank Manscaped for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. Welcome back in. Louis DiBiase. I'm riding solo today on the podcast as Gino's got some family affairs to take into account today. He'll be back on the show tomorrow, though. We got some more fun shows planned for you this week. So again, in your car, tell Siri, tell Alexa, play Locked On Eagles, and you'll hear us on your smart device. Also, make sure you listen. We're going to get into some NFL, a broader NFL topic today after our recap of Tuesday's practice on the first segment. So we're getting into now the best positional groups in the NFL outside of the Eagles. But if you want to hear just more NFL talk in general, make sure you listen to the new Locked On NFL podcast with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson and hosted by Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique takes on the game. It's a really good show, so that's also available on any podcast platform, so we do recommend you check that out. We've got some great podcasts running here on the Locked On Podcast Network, so we hope you're enjoying this one, and we hope you go check out some of the other ones too. I mean, get behind enemy lines. Go check out some of the other Locked On NFC East podcasts, like Locked On Redskins, Locked On Cowboys, or Locked On Giants. They all do a great job there, too, if you want to know a little bit more about the enemy for the Philadelphia Eagles. Speaking of the enemies, the AFC teams, you know, the Eagles play the AFC East this year. There's not a big rivalry with a lot of AFC teams when it comes to the Eagles, but hey, you know, with the games they do have this year within that other conference and a potential trip to the Super Bowl, the Eagles are one of the favorites in that area this year, one of the championship contenders in the NFL. Are there teams that, if they do get to that stage, there is a team that can match the Eagles toe for toe, talent for talent, on the offensive side of the ball? The Patriots were able to do it in the Super Bowl in 2017. It's why there was over 1,000 yards of offense total between the two teams, a final score of 41-33, you know, 74 points scored in that game. Is there a team that can do that once again? If the Eagles do find that groove with all the talent they have on offense, are there teams that compete with that, that can compete with that? I think there are. Two of them specifically in the AFC that I think of are the Kansas City Chiefs for one. Andy Reid's team, this probably is the, you know, we talk about how this is the most talented offense I've ever seen with the Eagles. I think the Chiefs team in 2019, this offense is the best that Andy Reid has ever had. He's never really had a complete one, I would say, right? I mean, McNabb, T.O., and Westbrook in 2004, 2009, right before the end. I mean, of course, 2010 with Vic, McCoy, Deshaun, and Macklin. In 2009, the same squad and Selleck. But you had McNabb and you had Leonard Weaver as well, and still Brian Westbrook on one more year. But this one is just as good as any in the league. Of course, you got the reigning MVP in Patrick Mahomes, who over 50 passing touchdowns last year. This year, he has even more weapons to work with. Of course, they paid Sammy Watkins $16 million last year to come in and be one of their top receivers. That's still a really bad contract, but regardless, Sammy Watkins now might be their, I mean, fourth option, and he was a former top five pick in the NFL. Because you go down the line, the speed combo here that is terrifying of Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, the rookie out of Georgia, Geno's guy, loves Mecole Hardman, ended up going in the second round. The Chiefs trade up to get him. And Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill, that is, look, DeSean Jackson and Nelson Agholor is an explosive pairing down the field at receiver for the Eagles. Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman is probably scarier than that combo for the Eagles. And of course, you do have Sammy Watkins here now that's going to have probably favorable matchups week in and week out. Don't forget about Travis Kelce, who 1A, 1B with Zach Ertz is the new top tight ends in the league as Rob Gronkowski is retired. And eventually, my guy, you guys haven't heard the name probably in a while, but don't sleep on Darwin Thompson. I know Damian Williams is the running back right now for the Chiefs, but Darwin Thompson, their sixth-round pick out of Utah State, we interviewed him right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. He's going to take over eventually in that backfield, if you ask me, with how good he is at breaking tackles, with how strong he got in the screen game last year. He is the perfect running back for this Andy Reid Pat Mahomes' offense, and when he eventually does take over for Damian Williams, Tyreek Hill, Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins, Travis Kelce, and Darwin Thompson for Pat Mahomes, that if the Eagles and Chiefs played in the Super Bowl, even if I'm not a fan of either team, that probably is the most ideal matchup just for a non-biased NFL fan for sure. And then the other team in the AFC that cannot be slept on, and that, trust me, they're not. They're probably the most hyped up team in the NFL right now, and I thought we would never, ever say that, but it's the Cleveland Browns. And check out this offense here for Baker Mayfield, who's already one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. They've got Odell Beckham now through that trade with the Giants. Still laugh at that one. Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson, who has not been traded yet. We'll see what happens with that. Remember, we were talking about that a lot with the Eagles because we thought maybe they would trade him to Philadelphia. He's still in Cleveland right now. Kareem Hunt comes back at the tail end of the season for maybe a potential playoff run. They got David Njoku at tight end and Antonio Callaway. The Browns are just as deep as the Eagles, as the Chiefs. They've got Baker Mayfield at quarterback. That's a good thing, too. We're talking about the best skill position offenses here in the NFL, and the ones that we mentioned just so happen to also have great young quarterbacks. And I guess that's the trend that you're going to see, because when these rookie quarterbacks are on these, you know, inexpensive deals, it does allow you to pay for a Tyreek Hill or an Odell Beckham or a Jarvis Landry. You know, Sammy Watkins, you can throw $16 million at a Sammy Watkins. So it does make sense that these teams do have good young quarterbacks for these incredibly deep rosters of skill position players. So Cleveland's is as dangerous as anyone in the NFL. And then an honorable mention for the AFC, Frank Reich's team, former Eagles offensive coordinator, now head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. Frank Reich, him and Andrew Luck have at their disposal T.Y. Hilton, one of the best receivers in the game, probably one of the most underrated receivers in the game. Paris Campbell, my speedster of the 2019 NFL draft. Geno loved him some Mecole Hardman. I loved me some Paris Campbell. He looks really good so far in Colts training camp. And of course, we got to actually see the pads go on and an actual game be played. But the speed combination, we mentioned Hardman and Hill. How about T.Y. Hilton and Paris Campbell on both sides of the ball? I mean, that's especially with how Reich, much like Doug Peterson, loves to utilize the screen game. Having a Paris Campbell and a T.Y. Hilton, and even two, these a receiving back in Nyheim Himes, Marlon Mack. You got a tight end combo of Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron. Don't forget, too, they paid Devin Funches this year, so they have another big target for Andrew Luck to go to, specifically in the red zone here. They paid him, what was it, $13 million to bring in Devin Funches? So the Colts, another team in the AFC, very, very deep. I think all three of those teams could match the Eagles' offensive production, and all three teams have really, really damn good quarterbacks. All right, let's take another break here. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show. I got a few more teams that I think could match the Eagles' offensive skill position players, talent for talent. I got a few teams in the NFC coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, sponsored today by Bombas. Bombas are the most comfortable socks in the history of feet. Plus, for every Bombas purchase, they donate a pair to someone in need. So it goes to a great cause per purchase. Find out more about what feet daydream about at bombas.com/locked, L-O-C-K-E-D today, and get 20% off at bombas.com/locked. We'll be right back. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, we're back. Louis DiBiase wrapping up today's edition of Locked On Eagles. Got into the Tuesday practice recap at NovaCare Complex. Got into some AFC teams that I think could match the Eagles when it comes to receivers, running backs, and tight ends at their quarterback's disposal. How about the NFC? The NFC is much deeper when it comes to skill positions than the AFC, I would say. I mean, the Chiefs, Colts, and the Browns, all very top-heavy offenses when it comes to, I mean, they're deep. But like what I mean is just there's not many teams in the AFC compared to in the NFC that can match the Eagles. The NFC there is. I mean, you got, look, top-end talent, they're not very deep, but you look at the Saints with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. You look at the Cowboys when Ezekiel Elliott does finally come back, him and Amari Cooper. They're not crazy deep, but those two teams have two really damn good players for their quarterbacks in Drew Brees and Dak Prescott. There's overlooked units as well. I mean, how about Carolina? If Cam Newton's healthy this year, Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, of course, coming out first-round pick last year out of Maryland. I think he's going to take another step this year. Greg Olsen, they don't sleep on the Panthers' offense this year. don't sleep on the Panthers. San Francisco, I mean, their three running backs of Jerick McKinnon, Matt Breida, and Tevin Coleman. I love me some Dante Pettis, mostly because of my boy Brad Kelly at the Draft Network. You got Marquise Goodwin. They drafted Debo Samuel this year. They've got pieces. George Kittle, how can we forget? So Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, they got a lot to work with. Minnesota, too. I mean, Kirk Cousins is to blame for why they don't get as much credit. But Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Dalvin Cook, there might not be a better trio out there in the NFL. I'm expecting huge things from Dalvin Cook in year three. But mostly because Kirk Cousins makes that team underperform, they don't really get as much love. And, of course, they have a good tight end combo themselves in Kyle Rudolph and in rookie tight end out of Alabama, Irv Smith. The Rams, I think, are the best overall one next to the Eagles. Here is how I would rank them. If I had to rank the top five NFL offenses this year, based on, you know, I'm sorry, let me change that question. If I had to rank the top five skill position groups in the NFL this year, yeah, I like that better. This is how it would go. One, the Eagles. Two, the Chiefs. Three, the Browns. Four, the Rams. Because, look, I know Gurley's health is a scary thing to keep an eye on. But they drafted Daryl Henderson in the third round, who I really like coming out of Memphis. You still got Robert Woods. You got Brandon Cooks. You got Cooper Kupp coming back this year. Jared Goff and Sean McVay, they've got weapons. It's why they were one of the best offenses in the league last year. I put them at four. Number five, I'd probably put Minnesota. They have, you know, we talk about Philly. They got five, six, seven guys Wentz can target in the passing game. Maybe even, at this point, 10. Minnesota, in their own right, has five or six. You know, Dalvin Cook, love him. Love Dalvin Cook. Madison, too, their rookie running back. Keep an eye out for him in that 1-2 punch in the backfield. Diggs and Thielen, one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL. Kyle Rudolph has a new extension, a new deal. I like Irv Smith a lot coming out of Alabama. I think when they run 12 personnel, that can be something, especially with play action. That's how you're going to be able to utilize Kirk Cousins, because he's really not a great quarterback without using play action. That's the featured offense, if you ask me, in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins has a lot of skill positions to work with on offense this year. There is no excuse if Minnesota misses the playoffs once again with all their talent on defense, too. It could go down as, you know, it's already, to me, career-defining for Kirk Cousins, but if he makes this Minnesota team, who seemingly was a quarterback away from making the Super Bowl 2 years ago, if he makes them miss the playoffs again this year, he's going to go down as one of the most underachieving, overpaid quarterbacks in NFL history. And I already think he is, but I think it could really, really do him in this year if he cannot get it going with what he has on this offense now, especially if Dalvin Cook is healthy. They need to get it done, because to me, that's a top five offense in the NFL when it comes to the talent of their receivers, of their tight ends, and of their running backs. So I would go Eagles at one, Chiefs at two, Browns three, Rams four, Vikings five. But, you know, the Colts are right there. I love me some Niners and some Panthers this year when it comes to offense. Even a team like Chicago, I mean, they brought in David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen, Allen Robinson, I think should have a bounce back year depending on how Trubisky progresses. Our boy, Mr. Philly Special, Trey Burton, still there. Anthony Miller, another guy out of Memphis that I think will take a big step in year two. Great route runner, great guy at separating off the line of scrimmage. The Bears are another one that are good. There is a lot of really good offenses in football right now, but you know, if I had to specifically mention the ones in the AFC and the NFC, I'd go Browns, Chiefs, and Colts, and then Eagles, Rams. I mean, again, New Orleans and Dallas have really good duos, but they don't have the depth, I think, of LA, Philadelphia, Minnesota. You know, even Atlanta, I didn't mention. Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. I think Devonta Freeman, now that Tevin Coleman's gone this year, is a great fantasy option for you guys out there trying to find another running back. You know, Matt Ryan's got a lot of pieces to work with, too, in Atlanta. There are some great offenses. But again, if I had to go top five, I'd go Eagles, Chiefs, Browns, Rams, Vikings. So those are the teams the Eagles have to really go after this year when it comes to having the best offense in football. I think for sure those are the teams that have the most to work with when it comes to depth, when it comes to variety of talents, different strengths, different positions. Those are the teams with the best talent across the board on the offensive side of the football. All right, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. We'll be back tomorrow, myself and Gino Camilleri. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any of our recent shows. You know, we're doing practice recaps every episode, but we're also getting into a bigger, a broader topic. So they are all still timely. So make sure you go back on whatever app you are using, or if you're on LockedOnEagles.com, we post them all there as well. And I tweet them all out, as well as I continue the Eagles talk at DiBiaseLOE, at Lockdown Birds, and also follow Gino at Gino_LOE. All right, that's going to do it. I'm out of here. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for listening, and let's go Birds, baby.